The text verses for the sermon this morning are from the beginning of Habakkuk, verse 2, and in the last chapter, verse 19. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Enables me to go on the heights. Have you ever in your life climbed a sand dune? Well, for one, it's not the easiest thing to do. Once when I was much younger, or must I say skinnier, Nanda and I decided to climb a sand dune in the Namibian desert. These dunes are considered the tallest in the world, in places rising 300 meters above the desert floor. At first, it was just okay. But later, as it got warmer and the sand more slippery, it became a nightmare. For every one step you take forward, you slip two steps back. I remember at times I felt I'm going to suffocate of tiredness and dehydration. And of course, Nanda was as fit as a fiddle and was motivating me each step of the way. And later she was carrying all our stuff because I was just too tired. And I can tell you, there were many, many times that I thought by myself, I think I'm just going to turn on my heels and slide down this dune. But Nanda kept me going. And oh my, how glad I was for not turning back when we reached the top of that sand dune. The views were stunning. And to sit on the top of that sand dune and see the different colors of the sun shining on each dune was just spectacular. And I guess the ministry of Habakkuk, his acting as a prophet, must have felt to him like climbing a sand dune. Because at one stage he says to the Lord, "Lord, there's violence everywhere. Help us, please." For the Lord to answer him, "I will help you. I'll send the Babylonians to destroy you." Habakkuk, you can just imagine how he must have felt. But the background was that he was a prophet in the most difficult time of the Judean history. It happened at the death of Josiah in 609 BC. Josiah was a good king. He governed his country to the ways of the Lord. He removed all the idolatrous worship, and he consecrated the worship again in Jerusalem. And according to the first and the second Kings, he was a man to God's liking and to God's heart. He reformed his whole country. But when his second son, Jehoiakim, succeeded him as king of Judah, everything changed. Because this new king was wicked by nature and unjust. And the earliest church historian said he was neither reverent towards God nor kind to any human being. He is the one who grabbed the book roll from Jeremiah and he tore it apart and threw it in the fire. He was the only Judean king ever to kill a prophet of God, namely Uriah, just because he spoke out and prophesied not in his favor. He did not like the things Jeremiah said to him. He even imprisoned Jeremiah and his secretary, Baruch, because Jeremiah said to him in his face, "The Babylonians will come and destroy your country, destroy Jerusalem." So these countries were torn apart by the superpowers of those days, Egypt and Babylonia. And there were violence everywhere. And everyone wondered, when is this going to end? And the people did not follow God. And that's why Habakkuk is crying out, how long, God, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? And then, like I said, when the Lord answered him, he answered him not in the way Habakkuk was expecting. Because Habakkuk was made aware by God that unfaithful Judah will be punished. But the Lord also said to him, he must remember, although he will send the Babylonians, he will stay in power. He says to Habakkuk, those who are evil will not survive, but those who follow me, those who are righteous, they will live because of their faith in me. It is then that Habakkuk realizes it's not in his hands. It's in no human's hands. It's not in the king's hands. God is in control. He knows better. And when Habakkuk reaches this conclusion, namely to trust and believe in the Lord God, it's then that he starts to sing, despite the fact that the situation has not changed, despite the dreadful situation, it's then that he sings, even though we have nothing to eat in this country, although we are torn apart, although it's so bad living in these circumstances, I will be joyful and glad because I realize there's only one Savior, and that is the Almighty God. He realized he needed not to be worried. God will take care of his situation. He is Judah's Savior. He will provide for them on the right time and the right place. But Habakkuk's prophecy was a journey of faith, from a valley of despair to a mountain of joy, a journey from doubt to faith, one of hopelessness to trust, and one of grief to hope and joy. Habakkuk needed to be told what it means to have faith in the Lord. All that he could see was destruction and violence and strife and wickedness. But he cried out to God, and God did hear his cry. The Lord answered him. The Lord answered him with the right answer to the right situation. The message is so clear. Faith is the key to understand the mighty workings of God despite all the odds. And I'm sure there's no one sitting in this church this morning that has never doubted God or his almighty workings. Because daily, you and I climb the sand dunes of life, going one step forward, just to feel that we are sliding a few steps back. And the only way we can manage is to do what Habakkuk did. We must realize that we are ordinary human beings who have no control over life or death or the outcome of events. Everything is in the hands of the Almighty God. We must just have faith in him and trust him each step of the way. And we must grab onto him when we are falling. We must also not fool ourselves by saying that we can reach the top of the sand dune by ourselves. We need God's hand and guidance. We need to open our Bibles and listen to his words. We need to talk to Him in prayer whenever we can to make sure He is there. We need to attend all the opportunities we can find to meet Him and to be in His presence. We need to open ourselves to His Holy Spirit to help us when our lives fall apart, when we have no other solutions, when everything goes wrong. We need faith to see the bigger picture, to know that despite everything that is going wrong, God is still in charge. He will remain in charge. He knows exactly what He's doing. We need to hold on to our faith, the faith that Jesus Christ saved us from damnation, sin, and hell and death. And that through Him, nothing can divide us from the love of God. If you are sitting in this church this morning and you feel tired because life treated you tough, or you're distressed because you are suffering from an illness, pain, broken relationships. Or you are sitting here and you're disappointed because God has not answered your cries. Or you are sitting here worried because of everything that goes wrong in your life. Remember the great truth of Habakkuk. Do not carry it alone. Give it to the Lord and trust Him to deal with it. He is the Almighty God that takes care of everything, seen and unseen. All that we need is faith, but not shallow faith. The faith expressed by Habakkuk. Faith that surpasses anything. Faith that testifies that although there's wars in this world, although there is many injustices going on, despite the credit crunch, despite all the evil in and around us and in our world, despite all the illnesses, the poverty and the broken relationships, despite all the tears, the sadness, and all our unforeseen bad circumstances, God is still in power. And we must sing hallelujah each and every moment to His loving faithfulness. Amen.